Welcome to Non-Productive. We're going to talk about this week in Geek. Obviously, the biggest thing that happened in Geek this week is Disney Plus landed. How many of us in the room right now, we got Al, Matt, Michelle, and Pete, and myself, Frank, how many of us have access to a Disney Plus account?
Which, I have access.
That is the cheapest way. All right. I'm not going to investigate that any further. Anybody else?
I live in a Disney Plus household.
I as well. But you, Matt and Michelle have not gotten...
I have a login, but I haven't set it up yet.
Wow. I'm surprised. I mean, I know it's only been
it's
a day,
It's been like 15 hours of really us being awake of Disney Plus being active.
I set my alarm for 6 a.m.
So, really?
So today, one of the things on Disney Plus is a Jeff Goldblum, The World According to Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah.
And the first episode, this isn't really a spoiler, is about sneakers. Just it's like every episode is he's uncovering different things, and in this one, like part of it is like the collector world, the people who wait online
for insane
sneakers and stuff. And there are people like that for movie tickets, for the early adopters of phones and stuff. I'm like, wow, early adopters are insane. And then I realized I waited till 5:55 a.m. Woke up, created my account, logged in, and forced my wife to watch Steamboat Willie with me on my phone. So, yeah, I'm part of the problem, 100%.
Yeah, I've held off on doing it because I keep on hearing all these issues with, like, the logging in and accessing it. So I kind of figured, oh, I'll just catch it all when everything gets worked out. Like, seems like nobody's really has that mindset. They're just powering through all the technical issues. It's like, nah, I got to get my Disney fix. It's like, oh, maybe I need to do it.
I've heard like the interface of the actual app itself is a little clunky still. It's not nearly as smooth as like the, you know, been here forever Netflix and Hulu. Yeah. And then I'm seeing misleading information, which I'm not sure it's like you can only have it on 4 devices or you can only be logged in 4 places.
You can only be watching it 4 at a time.
Yeah.
Oh, which how, is who like has Netflix that many friends?
Yeah, well.
That no. You share your account information
you
with.
You mean family members who are on different rooms in the house, in one household.
Yes, exactly. That is
saying.
Definitely
is
what I mean.
Literally what you mean.
Okay, so for my clarification, then it's
4 simultaneous
four
screens.
4 simultaneous screens. Okay, because
I
was reading it where...
Which I think is very fair.
That is more than fair. Netflix only lets 2.
2.
Unless you pay for the family plan, and then it's like $12.99, and then you can do 3, I think.
Right.
Unless you're super hardcore and like want to watch like 4 different things at once.
Hold on, let me set up all of my TVs in a row, and I'm going to watch...
I've got 4 tablets in front of me.
I'm going to be honest, I have done this with YouTube.
Oh, well, yeah.
I've been watching several things at the same time on YouTube.
Yeah, that's fair.
That makes sense. Is it the instructional stuff?
You know? Disney Plus interface, I think, is a little clunky. And, of course, it's got, like, you know, launch day problems. Worst part about it for me is...
No Song of the South.
That's
everyone, that is a big deal.
Everyone brings that. It's like the thing people bring up. It's, I think, the lamest take. The biggest problem... because everybody says it. It's it's like looking for the most obscure needle in the haystack.
Okay, no victory through air power.
Yeah.
Okay, that'll give you.
It's not a contest.
Well, like they didn't put Song of the South on there for obvious reasons why they didn't put Song of the South.
Yeah, it's very obvious, except to Pete, who thinks this is funny.
I have a hilarious.
I don't think it's funny.
I understand, but only review we've ever gotten on this channel is have Pete be less concerned about Song of the South. Just less. That's the only review we've ever gotten.
This is off topic, but I have a very funny comment about Song of the South.
Oh,
if it's
all
okay.
Right, this is a Song of the South podcast. Yes. Go.
So you know how the ride in Magic Kingdom, the
Briar Rabbit, the
Splash Mountain.
Splash Mountain is based on Song of the South, technically.
Yes.
Well, Disney does not advertise that it's based on Song of the South. They just act like it's a standalone ride. It's just like a thing.
Right.
Mm. We were in Disney, 2012, college group of friends. My one friend who I now live with, we go on the ride, he goes up to the attendant and he's like very like innocently just asks her, oh, like what movie is this based off of? And her face just deadpans. Like she's like, oh my God, do I lie to the customer?
Or does
Walt Disney's ghost come out and like ravage my body? Like what? Like
wow.
So yeah, she just very quietly like, I had to go over here now.
Oh, that's a shame. So to finish my thought about the interface.
Sorry.
Wow, folks. My biggest problem is that the episodes are out of order for things. For
wow,
a lot of things.
That's really annoying.
So I put in DuckTales 2017, and like the first episode isn't the first episode. And it's DuckTales, and it's like a modern show. They gotta have that organized. But no, it was not. So disappointing, but hopefully they'll get that sorted at some point, maybe. But speaking of Song of the South and Dumbo and a few other programs, one cool thing is they do have content warnings on a few things. So they'll say contains use of tobacco, right? Or this program was originally created at a time when et cetera, et cetera. So that's, I think, on Dumbo it was.
Did they not edit the crow scene out of Dumbo?
I didn't see the
you haven't watched it yet.
The animated one.
I know they cut something out of Dumbo.
So there was a lot of cuts. So like Star Wars, for example, that the Han shot first Greedo thing has been cut again.
That's so bizarre to me. Like, why would, like, and I've seen it, and it looks like the table just explodes.
Yeah, I don't know what they were trying to accomplish. And this is apparently a George Lucas thing that he did before the sale to Disney.
It seems as if that there's just a little bit of, like, it's cool to see a big company have problems, because it's like, when it got something out the door, they're still having that same connection issue. One very basic thing that isn't a content thing is The Simpsons. Their early episodes are cropped in like fake widescreen.
Right.
Instead of being, you know,
like 4:3.
4:3 ratio. Which ruins some jokes. And I think we talked about it on the fan club on Facebook, and it like crops out some parts that are important, but it just seems like that's, you were saying something that wasn't
that
even...
it was something that had happened originally when FXX started streaming The Simpsons, and due to a much milder fan outcry at that point, they went back and redid it so that the jokes were restored and you had letterbox version.
For some reason, Disney's airing.
Disney picked the wrong. I don't know if it was the wrong. I don't know if they made that intentional decision.
Yeah, I mean, the only reason I think to make that decision would be we want less complaints, because a lot of people aren't going to get it. If why is it black on both sides of my screen?
Right.
So this will avoid some complaints from some people. I don't know, but
I can't believe people still don't get that.
No, older people and younger people. I think it's an issue. But also, I honestly feel like a lot of these edits are just, like, they didn't need to get the product out the door. So maybe we are eventually going to see a version where you can choose, my dream come true is to watch, a 5-minute report on the origins of Song of the South and why some of the depictions are not that great, and then you can watch the original Song of the South. I think that gives people like us jobs, because we get to talk about why these things are a problem as opposed to just burying it and pretending like it never happened.
Yeah. Yeah, one thing that I saw that I kind of agree with, a kind of a criticism, that the content warnings, while they are nice on Disney Plus, the examples I've seen were very simple. It was like, yes, this was from a different time. As opposed to, like, say, like Warner Brothers, who for like their old cartoons, they actually went into good detail like why what the content and the context of everything was. So I think I would like to see something like Disney Plus do it, just so we're a little bit more informed.
Yeah, give a little bit more information, definitely, because right now it could be read as a hey, it's a different time. He was from a different time, and that's like, token excuse.
It's a pretty cold take.
I've got a question. Do you remember a warning before The Mandalorian?
I do not, but depending on how you see it, I think it may be like extreme violence that's like the vaguer. It's not like, not in the description area, but it's like on the screen that fades out, if that makes sense, if I'm describing that UI good. So yeah, there's a lot of interesting content. A lot of people are talking about Disney Plus. I think The Mandalorian, we're not going to get into too many details here, but it is an interesting Star Wars experiment. And I'm very excited to see live action Star Wars that does something really different.
Yeah. I'm very pleased with the way they've so far managed to deliver a Star Wars thing that doesn't directly tie to any of the main story that we've gotten so far.
I want to watch it.
It feels very much in-universe, yet not super dependent, but I don't really think Netflix is worried at this point from Disney+. Maybe, I don't know what I'm saying, because like like I loved it. I woke up early in the morning to watch it, and now I'm like, I'm okay. I'm good. It's yeah. it's like a nostalgia trick for certain contents. That darn cock is in my watch list, and other than that, I don't really know. All right, next.
Fred McMurray.
Speaking of internet complaints, going back to The Simpsons, the internet complained and fixed the Sonic trailer. This is democracy in action. More than anything else, the Sonic trailer.
It's bizarre to see it. Like it does look better. It looks leagues better.
It's so much better.
I want to see a documentary on like this whole entire ordeal and saga. I honestly think it'll be genuinely more interesting than the actual movie itself.
100%. This thing is... Like, the movie looks okay, but, like, I don't even know... I've heard people from both sides argue this. Like, the animation industry people are like, I don't know about this, where you pressure artists to change their work. But at the same time, like, fans said they didn't want to see it. The company decided, well, maybe we could fix it. And it looks so much better. It just, like... leagues better. Like, even things aside from what Sonic looks like, the jokes that Jim Carrey as Dr. Robotnik delivers in the trailer seem funnier.
It's just a better, like, what was one of the biggest confusing things with the first one was Gangster's Paradise as the background music. And in this one, there's background music from just some nondescript rock music, and then also like some actual video game like soundtrack stuff is in there too. Like Green Hill Zone stuff is updated and put into the back of the trailer.
Oh, nice.
And it's just like, oh, all right. Like Supersonic, I think, was one of the songs that were in the background there too. Like, it was just really like, wow, all right.
So this seems more faithful.
Not even more faithful. It's just not as like confusing or like off-putting. Like it Gangster's Paradise felt so out of place. Like, why is this in a Sonic trailer?
It seems like this trailer is kind of so like, hey, we kind of get it. Like, we're not just taking the name of the franchise and throwing on something. They're just showing a bit more understanding.
It's always
of what this actually is.
It's always weird when someone tries to recreate a franchise, and it's like the goal seems to be to not do something that's too close to the thing that people love. It's like the Fantasy Island horror trailer.
Or the Masters of the Universe movie from back in the 80s.
I think that would have been... I don't know. I think maybe that nobody watched those. I don't know how those movies were made.
That was mostly an attempt to stay faithful to the original source material with zero budget.
Did it all take place on Earth? I didn't think that's...
Most of it did.
Oh.
And Frank Langella, right?
Frank Langella, yeah.
Yeah, Langella.
He never came to Earth, though, I don't think.
No, the actor is in space currently. Yeah. Right now. All right, anything else going on in the geek hemisphere that we should know about?
I mentioned this on the fan club, but kind of go along with the whole entire TV/streaming apocalypse singularity. There's another singularity going on, and that's gaming. Like video games, like there's a whole bunch of stuff coming out like within the past, not even month, like weeks.
Oh my god!
There's been so much stuff, and I'm kind of like up to my neck.
Yeah,
so,
you didn't even mention Stadia.
So like a bunch of like,
and nobody will again.
So a bunch of platforms, kind of like Steam, are coming out. Essentially, is that what you're saying, or something?
I mean, just like games are coming out. I mean, there's also the whole entire thing with Google Stadia. That's gonna be a thing, no matter what happens with it. But just like a ton of games, like I'm currently playing Death Stranding.
Yes,
The Outer Worlds came out. There's a new Star Wars game coming out, Fallen Order.
Yeah.
After 18 years, Shenmue is finally getting a sequel. Or Shenmue 2 is finally getting a sequel, rather.
Holy crap!
Just so much stuff is going on. Like, this year has been kind of wild in terms of gaming and. Like, we are kind of, I feel like we are reaching that kind of like TV point where we've been talking about for a while, where there's just so much stuff, not enough time, and you have to figure out what we're going to do.
Because you can't just binge video games. I mean, you can to an extent, but like, you have to invest, like, it's not like I can play a video game and do something else.
Yeah.
Like, I have to devote my time and energy to that.
It almost feels like something's happening and they all want us to stay indoors all the time now. Which I'm okay with. I'm okay with never leaving my house again.
Nah.
If that's on the table.
I thought this was going to be like a global warming thing.
Oh, maybe.
Anyway, watch our Frozen trailer.
Yes. There's I wonder if we're just going to all have to, maybe they're going to start putting servers in people's houses to help, like, you know, the
cooling. They'll just put it in our brains.
Oh, I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, well, it'll be like that book that turned into a movie. What was it called?
Ready Player One.
Ready Player One. Thank you.
Oh, I was going to say His Majesty's Dark Materials.
The other Baleen
His
Girl?
Dark Materials. Did I get it right?
Yes.
His Dark Materials. Hey.
That's a TV series.
Yeah, though. There's a couple TV shows that are out on HBO that I think are... actually, there's a couple TV shows in general. Mr. Robot's wrapping up.
Yeah.
It has been amazing. An amazing final season. No spoilers. Yes. But it's definitely worth it. I think episode 405 was... intense filmmaking, like just amazing. Just, I think maybe you don't even need to watch the show to really enjoy that if you're a film buff or a cinematography buff. I don't care. Let's see what else is there.
Watchmen only has like 4 episodes left.
Yeah, Watchmen has been great. That's from me. I don't need anything but the original graphic novel. I punched a guy for watching the movie.
Yeah, once. I remember that.
Sorry, Pete. I refuse to talk to Ken and Pete about the Watchmen comic because they don't revere it enough.
True.
He knows better than to say anything. I will back in the hand. And I didn't read any of like Watchmen Begins or whatever, but like this really is amazing.
Can I ask? Do you share my opinion that watching Watchmen here is probably the closest you'd ever get to the same experience reading the comic book on a screen?
It is definitely
like the way they use storytelling and
framing
different
of a shot,
interstitials
yes.
and
yeah definitely it is I always said that if you were ever going to film The Watchmen, it would have to be a miniseries.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so glad that they didn't do the original. They just said, let's do something else. I feel it's very impressive. I'm very excited about it. On the other hand, I have no feelings at all about His Majesty's
His Dark Materials.
I tried to watch it with my father and immediately just was decided I was going to do something else. it was weird. Like McAvoy shows up with the kid and like I'm like trying to pay attention to something about a library and I'm like, I'm so much
fantacrap, man.
See, that's how I felt about the books as a kid. I'm like, I'm going to go over here.
God, I hope James and like Gwen... listen to this podcast and unsubscribe.
I go home tomorrow, have like 13 very angry messages.
Yeah, you don't understand, man. I don't know whose voice that is.
That's James. That's probably James.
It's just so much fantagraph. There's so much like I can't figure out, and I'm a geek. I should know this stuff.
Yeah, they pile it all on. There's too many. Wait, there's too many different new rules to this world.
It's weird. How did Lord of the Rings do it so well? And like
Harry Potter even.
Yeah, Harry Potter even, yeah.
Well, I think the big difference there is the worlds work essentially the same way in Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter. They work the same way as our world does.
Mm.
You know, with simple addition of like magic and okay, there's trolls.
I think I'm not too sure about that. Maybe, but like with Harry Potter, at least they have a character who also doesn't know anything.
Yeah, it's fair.
It's Harry Potter is the main character, and he's like, what? Who? How? And he's a child, so everyone explains things to him all the time, and then explains it to you as the reader. No one in this damn show, everyone's like, deep into whatever's happening. Yeah. You're like, yeah, no, your Damon has gone through a transformation and now it's more of a flux spirit. What's happening?
I think I get what Pete is saying though too, because like it's a completely different type of government and like way the world actually structured as far as religiously and other ways, like that it's just they're talking about things that I have no context for. Like libraries are places of sanctuary. If you like if I drop a baby off and say like, oh, they're gonna learn and become a scholar here.
That's
like,
true in our world too.
But like, it's like what?
Public libraries get a lot of funding for just that exact reason.
Yes. There we go.
I think the other problem with it is that it also there's too much of an overlap with our, like, there's London. All the places are the same, but there's no clear place where that world diverges from ours.
Yeah, don't
like
use words.
They just randomly came up with London,
even
too.
Calling those familiar things, which are actually their souls or whatever, calling them demons, was just like, that's unnecessary.
It saddles too much
it's confusing.
Extra outside baggage to that name.
Because I know what a familiar is, more or less, kind of, from, like, fake, you know, fairy tales or whatever.
Yeah. D&D, whatever.
Right? And I kind of know what a demon is, and this thing is neither of those things. It's not a familiar, even though it looks like one, and it's not a demon in the way you would think a demon is. It's actually an animal that holds your soul for reasons, and some people could have butterflies as demons. That sucks. I'm sorry.
It's very fragile.
Yeah. Well, all right. So anyways, angry about HBO show, but
where are the damn really polar bears?
Yeah. Don't bury the lead on the polar bears. That's the only reason any of us are watching. Just like the only reason any of us donate to the World Wildlife Fund. It's megafauna.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. Also, think about this concept. Michelle's eyes are rolling and crying. At the same time. Think of this concept. Megafauna. Planned Parenthood book drop. Huh? Planned Parenthood baby drop? No? In libraries?
No.
No.
Because
no.
You could put a baby
Planned
in
Parenthood does too much than...
Libraries also do too much.
That's true, yeah.
So let's join forces.
No.
Every book has a condom.
Oh,
bookmark.
Actually, I went to a Planned Parenthood event in a library in Ridgewood.
Boom.
Boom.
Oh my Works. God, it's inception.
Yeah.
Support your local libraries, ladies and gentlemen.
Actually, JK, it was Fairlawn.
Is that how we're going to end this episode? By very deep cuts to New Jersey cities? Support your local libraries? I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I love
them. Good for it.
Anything else happen?
I mean, there's a couple things on Netflix, but we can end here.
No, that's mean.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Franca Blowey. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.